We are still all assembling each. I see there are 33 participants. So let us already start with the with the prayers, and then yes, today will be a very important time. But it was really very, very interesting for me to address you yesterday. And yes, let us start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I think we would all agree when we say that if we could perform our bhakti with enthusiasm, with devotion, with deep, deep inspirations, we would be blessed and our performance of bhakti would come alive. Now, all these are feelings, emotions, and to awaken emotions in bhakti is really as important as it is to put salt to the vegetables. As important as it is to have hunger so that you can appreciate a meal. And as important as having a garden who has fruits. I will make it very clear. Once there was Narada Muni having a meeting with the great Uddhava, and he said, Uddhava, without loving feelings, the nine kinds of devotional service are like vegetables without salt. Without loving feelings, bhakti is like an elaborate meal, but without hunger. And without loving feelings, studying the scriptures is like studying them without an understanding. In fact, devotional feelings are as important in the life of a person as are fruits for the garden. Only when you have these devotional feelings is your bhakti relishable and pleasurable for Krishna and also for yourself. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a very nice description about this, and I'm going to tell a little bit about this point and then give a few examples. Often a devotee wants blessings. Often a devotee wants that mercy comes into his life. But do you know that these blessings and this mercy will come automatically from the heart of the Guru and from the heart of Krishna, even without being requested? There's only one thing necessary, and that is you should perform your service with devotional feelings. I have a big book here, and I will quote from it. There, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, Snehalesha peksha matra Shri Krishna kripara Snehavashana kare Svatantra chara. Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on one thing, that is affection. Krishna is only obliged by affection because he is so independent. Let us think about this for a moment. When you have affection in your heart for Krishna, when you have love, when you have awakened feelings of gratitude, Krishna's blessings, Krishna's mercy immediately come to you. But you may do many, many hundreds of years, all kinds of devotional activities. You may be on time with your offerings. You may rise before the sun and go to bed after the sun. You may perform so many activities, fast, completely on Ekadasi and so on. But all these things do not guarantee you the love or the blessings of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna. It's only when there is affection in your heart. Now, I think you will all agree that we have a lot of affection for several things in this world. We have affection for people who are close to us. I just saw on this call friends who I know longer than 50 years, Maike von Appen and Wiebke, Tante Wiebke was there. And immediately I felt affection because I know these people. I know they are very good people, and my affection goes naturally in this direction. I also think as a human being we have affection for instance, literature or certain music. We have affection for even dogs. There's a dog next door to us, Lana, and she guards not only the house of our neighbors, she also guards our house. She is very kind to us, and obviously when we hear her, we say, Lana, good morning to you. And in this way, we have affection for many, many things. Horses, we like maybe one t-shirt more than another t-shirt. Our affection is divided and distributed to the things of this world. And to awaken this affection for Krishna, to awaken spiritual affection, that is the most important project in this human form of life. When you have affection to the things of the world, you will stay in this world. And I just read how in the old times, when a husband likes his wife so much, and the wife likes the husband so much, they will meet each other in the next life and again be connected in some ways. I have seen in this life a few people, and I have said to them, I somehow have the feeling I know you. And the people looked at me, and all of a sudden a curtain opened, and they saw, yes, I also feel I know you. And as we began to talk, we could understand. There was an old friendship. I have such a friend who is a professor of Indology, where I definitely feel I know him from before. Affection for things of this world are the guarantee that we are reborn in this world. And affection for Krishna is the guarantee that we will be waking up in the spiritual world. It's so important. The Bhagavatam describes a little bit about this affection which is between the devotees and Krishna. In the 9th canto, 4th chapter, it says that Krishna feels very, very happy about the saints who are affectionate towards him. He says, Krishna says, without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulence. Krishna himself wants to share all the good things he has with those who have affection and who are close to him. And then he gives a secret. He says, Mayini Bada Hridaya. Just like a chaste woman, he says, brings her gentle husband under her control by service, by affectionate service. The devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me bring me under their full control. Yeah. I think we can understand when someone likes us very much, then we feel in our heart, wow, I wish to do something for this person. I wish to be totally present in the life of this person. And I want to give and share whatever I have to this person. There's another example in the scriptures about one great yogi who decided to marry. His name is Kardama Muni. He had a wife who was really very affectionate to him. Her name was Devahuti. She was a princess, but she gave up all her comfort to serve him. She gave up her palaces. She gave up her servants. She gave up her beautiful dresses. She gave up everything to serve her exalted husband. And in the process, she became tired, and she had black rings under her eyes. She became very skinny also. And Kardama Muni could see that his wife had so much served him out of affection that he felt, now I'm ready to give her everything which I have. He addressed her. One day he sat her down, he requested her to sit down. It was a beautiful atmosphere. They were under a big banyan tree in the forest. And he said, my dear wife, Devahuti, you know, by my austerities, by my long years of meditation, I have achieved certain blessings. You, however, have only served me. You had no time for meditation, no time for service, for austerities you did, but you only served me. But now I will do something. I shall offer all these blessings which I have gotten to you. Now just look at them. I'm giving you the transcendental vision to see how nice they are. And there Devahuti could see before her eyes peace, an exalted state of consciousness, samadhi. She could see the treasures of spiritual life appearing one after another before her and going into her. It is Prabhupada explains that the great spiritual masters and the great souls are also offering their unreserved blessings to anyone and everyone who serves them with affection, with devotional feelings. You might ask yourself, can you please tell us how we can awaken these devotional feelings for Krishna? Yes, we have feelings for our t-shirts. We have feelings for a dog, a neighbor dog. Yes, we have feelings for good food and for friends and people who we like. But how can I achieve a similar and emotional investment in Krishna? I would like to tell you three things which are working always. The first thing is, be with exalted devotees who have these type of feelings. I never will forget how I once met a great devotee. He was sitting in his little kutia, little room. The room was packed full of books, and there was an altar before him, and he received me, and he had tears in his eyes, and he asked, "Maharaj, I feel I will never achieve the Lord." And then he cried such sweet tears of love and longing. And as I saw him, this came in me. Prabhupada was once asked, how do we become good devotees? And he said, well, how do you become a drunkard, someone who drinks alcohol? And then he said, you just associate with drunkards, and then you become a drunkard yourself. In the same way, go to the great devotees of Krishna, those who have love for Krishna, and as you associate with them, as you are together with them, you will see that these feelings also come to you. I have seen how feelings come from one person to another in many contexts. I have seen how people who were highly afraid of high altitudes went with a few courageous people with an airplane into the air, and then these people jumped out of the airplane, of course, with parachutes, and came down. And I have heard and seen that just in the association with this parachute jumpers, also the lay people have developed, yeah, I can also do it. I can also jump out of an airplane and fall. The feelings of great devotees are in their hearts. This is my second point. And they are often hidden there. So a very good way to access them, to come in contact with them, is to have live contact. I have seen this many times when I was together with Srila Prabhupada and was sitting there in his lectures. And as he was talking, his own bhava, his own mood, came from his heart into his mouth and out in the words which he spoke. Yes, being in the association of devotees and hearing from them works wonders. Life, that's one thing, but you can also hear recorded lectures, and you can also see through their literature they're amazed how they pour out their heart. For instance, here I've just opened a songbook which I always have with me, with prayers, and there Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, O Gopinath. Oh Gopinath, oh Gopinath, please take away the burning pain of worldly existence. I can no longer tolerate the ignorance and the cycle of repeated birth and death. And he pours out his heart, oh Gopinath, when will I wake up and cast away the enemy of lust far away from my heart? Oh Gopinath, you certainly know everything. Please give me a place at your divine lotus feet. These words speak to us. These words have feelings, and they infuse us, or they inject in our heart the feelings of the devotees. Yes. I also have always seen that going to a holy place, leaving your home for some time, leaving your habits for some time, leaving even the TV set for some time and going to a holy place will really inject and infuse you with the feelings. Srila Prabhupada once said that going to Vrindavan gives one the impetus for going back to Godhead. If you go into this atmosphere where thousands of devotees throughout hundreds and thousands of years have walked around, have read prayers, have explained their hearts to the Lord, then you will be infused with the atmosphere. We are just preparing an online event where we go online on retreat to Govardhan and to the sacred mountain of Govardhan. It starts on the 2nd of January, and I really can suggest to you, please go with us, even in the mind, even through the help of modern media, to Vrindavan, because there you will get deep feelings. There is also something which we have, which we do after my class. We hear directly about this person. This person may be a mystery for you. You may not understand what he is saying through his sidelong glances. Can you see Gopal Raj looking at you from the corner of his eyes? You may not understand what his friends understand when he looks like this. But as you hear more and more about him through Krishna Katha, yes, you will hear how his devotees relate to him. And as you hear more and more, you will feel one particular devotee having exactly the type of feelings which you would like to develop. And then by following the footsteps of this devotee, these feelings will manifest in your heart. To manifest feelings or to develop feelings for anyone is only possible if you in some way associate with them. And one way of association is to hear about them. It's the first, very first introduction to them. Also, to develop feelings, I'm giving a long list, I know, I am like this. It works when you sit in the kirtan. First you sit there, you hear, and then you sing louder and louder, and as you abandon yourself, as you give up the self-made boundaries which you have put, then devotional feelings develop. In our little ashram, we do regular kirtans each evening from 7 to 8, or sometimes it changes, it becomes earlier when we have guests. But we try to do these, guest means one person who's coming by. Then we sing, and what happens is that, let me say like this, and yesterday we had such a kirtan, we were only by the two of us on that kirtan, and I said to the kirtan partner with whom I sang kirtan, see, it is important during kirtan to leave the boundaries of I and mine. These describe your own little world. I am so and so, and this is my little world, my thoughts. This is your little self-established prison. But when you do kirtan, when you sing, you forget for a moment of this I and mine, and the walls fall down, and then you understand the vastness of Krishna consciousness as you sing. It becomes all of a sudden, everything opens up. When you sit down to do kirtan, stop your own little world, exit your own little world, sing and address Krishna, and as you do this, extraordinary devotional feelings are awakened. Jiva Goswami makes this very clear in Bhakti Sandarbha. He says there is a reason why kirtan is the highest spiritual practice in the age of Kali. He says the reason is that extraordinary devotional feelings are awakened. When you get out of your own boundaries, extraordinary devotional feelings are awakened. And he makes a point. This happens especially if you sing with many. When you do kirtan alone, it is already good. But when you sing with many, that is better. It's much better. So the feeling we are looking for is affection for Krishna. I would like to now bring my little class towards the end. I would like to talk about one example how the Lord reciprocates when he sees how our devotional feelings awaken. And I believe that this example can teach us many things. Once there was a very powerful and God-conscious king. His name was Maharaj Prataparudra. I know that every morning he would ride with his horses on a horse and take a morning ride, and he would discuss the affairs of the state with his ministers who were also on horsebacks. He wanted to combine the government of the state with something healthy. like taking a ride in the morning air. And he managed his huge state just by doing this. But as he became a little older, he developed a great attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who resided in the town of Puri. And he wrote two letters. He wrote a letter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In the first letter, he said, "Can I meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" And he got back the answer, "No, it's not possible. He's a sannyasi and he will not see worldly people." Then he this king wrote another letter and said, "Can I ask Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if they can arrange a meeting for me? Can I ask his associates, the people?" And he said in this letter, "Only if I obtain the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and have the lotus, the darshan of his lotus feet, will I be able to live. If I cannot see him and cannot have a meeting, I will give up my kingdom and become a monk." So there was war with other countries, and you know, the king couldn't give up the kingdom. So Nitai came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "Please give him the mercy. Please see him. Give him darshan. He will do something unconcerned, something which he has not thought about. He will do something hastily and ruin the whole state. You have to see him." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat there, very tall, very effulgent, and he said, "You know that I have given up the world and have given up seeing worldly people. But there's one amongst you, Damodar Swarup, or Swarup Damodar. If he gives me the permission that I can break my rules and see this worldly man, then I will do it." So Damodar Pandit was there in the room and he said, "Who am I? You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You make your own decision independent of my intervention. However, I make this prophecy. Because King Prataparudra has utmost love and affection for you, my prophecy is that you will see him, because it is your nature to be easily controlled by the love and affection of your devotees." And this king is excels. So Mahaprabhu smiled. Then Nityananda said, "Give him some sign that you love him, maybe a cloth which you have worn." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his outer cloth. But when Prataparudra, the king, received this, his pain increased. He said, "Yes, very nice that I have gotten the cloth, but I want the person who wears the cloth." And then another compromise was made, that the son of the king, who in some ways represents the father, could see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the son. The son was dressed in yellow garment. He had a red turban on his face, and he was very dark complexioned. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him coming in, and he, in his ecstasy, he thought, "Are you Krishna?" He looked exactly like the Lord, and embraced him. The son became very ecstatic, and when he came home, His father, the king, saw, "My son is so ecstatic and happy after seeing the Lord, but I have not seen the Lord." He became very desperate. Then something changed. Something which is really important for our discussion here. He, a special day came, and I'm looking this up for you. The Ratha Yatra day came, where a huge procession is arranged for Lord Jagannath on a cart. And Lord Chaitanya was seeing how the deity was carried on the cart. And in great transcendental joy, he chanted, "Manima, Manima," which means, "You're the greatest, you are venerable, you are adorable by me." And then he saw something which moved his heart. There was the king. He was dressed in simple cloth, and he had a broom in his hand. And he began to sweep the street like an ordinary street sweeper. Then he was not satisfied that now the street, which had been used by many people, was suitable to receive the Lord on his cart. So he came and he sprinkled the road with sandalwood-scented water. Although he was the owner of the royal throne, he took a broom and a bowl with scented sandalwood, and he began to render the service with love in his heart. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this extremely humble service of Chaitanya, of this king, he became very pleased, pleased. And simply by this type of seva, the king received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want you to think about this point for a moment. Prataparudra represents all of us. I think we all have done efforts to attain blessings. I know many on this call have given up so many things to come to Krishna consciousness. Many on this call have done austerities to serve Krishna. You have gone to holy places and you have visited temples and you have prayed. Many of you have chanted for many years. Many of you have done so many things, like the king who had tried so many times, writing letters, begging, being very, showing his eagerness to receive the mercy of Krishna. But it didn't come. Many of us sometimes feel, "Oh, I also have not yet received the mercy of the Lord." Many of us may feel even a little bit disappointed. "Why is the Lord so silent and does not give any sign to me?" And the answer may be here. it may be found here that we have not yet offered this seva with this special ingredient of sneha. This sneha mayi seva, or this love which is done with, this service which is done with love. This is all that Krishna cares for. He doesn't care for the many things which we do. He has every offering that we can offer already. He's the richest, the most fulfilled, and so on. He doesn't need anything from us. He only needs our snehamayi service. Prabhupada even said Krishna doesn't even give so much attention to high qualifications, that one is very learned, very renounced, and so on. He just wants to see this love in the heart of his devotees. Prabhupada once gave a lecture in Los Angeles, and he said, whether you are lusty or a thief or a murderer or whatever it may be, somehow or other, you must develop this eagerness, this desire. I must see Krishna. Then Krishna will be seen by you. When you have this feeling of a loving person who is coming before Krishna out of love, then Krishna automatically, without you, your effort, becomes bound by you, and he does everything in his what he can to give you blessings. Let us remember the service of this princess who served her husband Kadama out of love. Want you to notice this, because in the Bhagavatam verse we find, just like a chaste woman brings her husband under control, and the husband does everything for this chaste lady, no, by a loving seva, Krishna also becomes moved by the loving sneha mayi seva, the service which is done out of love, and gives the devotee everything. Remember, the Kadama Muni gave everything, all the blessings which he himself had received to his wife Devahuti. And to awaken these devotional feelings is not so difficult, as we are part and parcels of Krishna. We have something to do with Krishna. He is not a foreign entity. We belong to him. He is described in the scriptures as our father, our mother, our everything. It's already there. It is there. You just have to see how to awaken that little thing. And when you see there's a little spark in you, like when you feel, for instance, in kirtan, that is the method which I mentioned last, no? That something comes up, do more kirtan. When you see I'm with the devotees and the devotees can give me so much inspiration, go there, listen to more of their lectures, even in these times when it is mostly possible to see, to be associated with devotees online. Do more. Don't be lazy in your process to awaken the dormant love. Dormant means the sleeping love in your heart for Krishna. Find out a little program that encourages you. Like I've tried many things, and I found now this helps me to have some feelings for Krishna. They are already there. It's not that that they are foreign to you. They just need to be awakened. Just like the fire is already there in the match. It just needs a little rubbing, and here it is, out it is for you to see. Good. I have come to the end of this presentation and want to give the microphone to Gaurahari. But please remember, if you have any questions, send them in the chat box. They will be coming to the question person, and then they will be presented on the 1st of January, where we have a lively question and answer session. Live. Okay, so let us go to Gaurahari.